won't save you. They'll be so quick to erase you. They built you up just to tear you down.
Down.
They built you up just to tear you down.
Down.
Kone won't save you. They'll be so quick to erase you. They built you up just to tear you down.
You got a target on your back once you exit the womb. A black man becomes a nigga once you exit the room. And a nigga disappears once you pick up a broom. We the comedy relief speaking every blue moon. Good morning, how's it going? That's affirmative action. That you even in their presence, so they sitting back laughing in their mind's eye. You just a nigga that's passing in your mind's eye. You qualify fit with passion, play it humble most days. They thinking you deceiving when you show some intelligence. They feel you competing insecure, so quick to lay you off for no reason. Had you thinking you were buddy buddy, nigga, keep dreaming. Wore them tap shoes out.
Yeah, that is Robbie Blue with Coonan Won't Save You. You can get that one on Spotify. You can get that on iTunes. You can get that on Google Play. Coonan Won't Save You by Robbie Blue. Check that out. That's a hot one right there. But welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I'm your gracious host. I am Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have y'all up in the mix. We're ready to chop up some good game as usual, as we always do. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. Don't you go nowhere. We'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Yo, you need to check out JCSCashbackMall.com. It's your new online shopping experience, and it has all the places that you already shop and trust, even Amazon. It's all right there at one easy location. They bring the mall to your fingertips 24/7, and they're not like all these other so-called discount malls. Here today, gone tomorrow. Our cashbacks are the way that you shop. So go to JCSCashbackMall.com. Shop here today. It may be hard on the eyes, but it's easy to navigate and it's easy on your pocket. JCSCashbackMall.com.
You rap, sing, have a band? Then you need CD duplication. Visit www.atlantadisc.com. Atlantadisc.com is the premier company for CD duplication. We offer 100 CDs duplicated for $39. That's Atlantadisc, Atlantadisc.com. Or call us at 678-780-1722. The process is easy and affordable. Atlantadisc.com, 678-780-1722.
You know, our youth, especially our communities, are plagued with chronic diseases at an enormous rate. From diabetes, heart disease, cancer, obesity, the whole nine yards, we need to do something about it. You can help lower chronic disease rates and help kids learn about health by investing in Body Cycle. Now, this is a health education game app for kids 12 and up. You can go to Kickstarter.com, search Body Cycle, or go to healthneurotics.com. NEUROTICS. Or go to Instagram at Health Neurotics, and there's a link in the bio that you can click. The campaign on Kickstarter ends on July 3rd, 2018, so get involved. HealthNeurotics.com.
Eric Mitchell from Sancori presents an exclusive one-off historical event in Birmingham with lectures from Dr. Joy DeGroote, the acclaimed author of Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, and the film director and author Tariq Nasheed on Sunday, 17th of June, 2018 at the Hope Suite Villa Park B66HE. Dr. Joy DeGroote will present a dynamic lecture about the legacy of white supremacy and its impact and how to disrupt systems of oppression and heal our communities. This presentation will also cover the history of white supremacy and its continued systemic influence in every major institution. Tariq Nasheed, a relationship expert, will lecture on the outside influences that sabotage black male and female relationships, solutions for stronger black relationships, and issues related to colorism. Event starts at 3:30 p.m. and finishes 10 p.m. This is a ticket-only event. Costs £25 plus booking fee. Tickets from Hatman Store and www.trauma-healing.eventbrite.co.uk. Contact Eric on 07837-620967. Join us. Be part of history in the making. Be the healing.
Hey, what's up, family? Have you ever considered making money from your phone? Well, nowadays, it's as simple as pressing a button. You need to check out my dude, Elijah, over at phoneappmoney.com. He has extensive experience with rideshare and delivery apps like Uber, Uber Eats, Lyft, Postmates, just to name a few. And he has several YouTube videos that will teach you how to use these apps as a source of part-time or full-time income. So, yo, you want to get that money up right now? Go to phoneappmoney.com right now to start making money on your phone.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Crispin, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You're now tuning into the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Yo, we're back. What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq. You all know that. Glad to have all of y'all tuning in this beautiful day. It's a beautiful day out here where I am, out here in Los Angeles. We're going to chop up some real good game, as we always do. Don't forget, man, y'all need to go to 1804movie.com to get 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti. You guys also need to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot of stuff we're going to talk about today. A lot of stuff on today's show we're going to discuss. Before I get into that, there's a story that I posted up on Instagram that's kind of funny. There's this white lady. The story says, grandmother, hold on, they were very sympathetic towards this lady. The story said, let me read exactly what it says. It says, heartbroken grandmother has lost $480,000 to three separate African love scammers. And they got her up here in a wedding dress. Oh, Paula Deen looking white lady. She and them went over there to try to have gutter sex with the brothers, and they finessed her ass. So that ain't none but Ogun. I don't feel sorry for shit. They're trying to make it seem sympathetic. These women go over here to Africa and all these places, and they try to have gutter sex with these people who have been financially disenfranchised. And the brothers flipped it on it and got the bag. No harm, no foul. That ain't none but reparations right there. I don't feel sorry for her for shit. You fucked around. Look, she might have went over there to Nigeria. You'd fuck with the right one. You go fucking with them Nigerians. You trying to campaign for a little dick, and they gonna get the whole bag from your ass. That's what you get. Trying to exploit niggas. You know people's money is a little funny, and some of these nations that's been disenfranchised by the white supremacist powers, you know the money is funny. And little suspected liberal white supremacists will try to go over there and exploit that. And shout out to the brothers who know how to finesse them. That's who you finesse. Don't finesse other black folks. You finesse them. I ain't mad at all. But I hate that they're trying to emphasize the African scammer angle, because the finesse is strong with a lot of those people in other countries too. You watch that show 90 Day Fiancé. They got, Morocco's still in Africa, but they got one dude. I think he was from Morocco. This one guy, I think his name was Muhammad or something like that. And it was this big old fat white woman who brought him over, and his finesse game was strong too. He's trying to get that green card, and some of y'all know what I'm talking about. That show 90 Day Fiancé is funny as hell. They got like men and women who are marrying for money, and they got to be engaged or married for 90 days, something like that, in order to get a green card. But that nigga Muhammad, boy, he was with the little homely white lady, and Muhammad was coming up with every excuse in the world to not bang that woman. My nigga, Muhammad, I had to pop my collar to Muhammad. Muhammad was coming up with some great excuses, because you ain't got to bang him. Did Muhammad hit it once? Okay. Somebody in the chat room said Muhammad hit it once. That was enough for Muhammad. Muhammad was like, look, I can't kiss you. It's Ramadan. I can't kiss you. Oh no, we can't have sex. No, it's Easter Sunday. I can't do it. Oh, my nigga had, shout out to Muhammad, my nigga had all the excuses for not banging this broad and to get that bag. It was some player Hall of Fame shit. That nigga was claiming every religion and holiday to not bang her. He's like, look, I can't do it. It's Kwanzaa. I can't do it. But Muhammad, I didn't. Ain't that a black holiday? Well, bitch, I'm mixed. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I gotta have sex, Muhammad. No, nigga. No, bitch. No, I can't do it. It's Juneteenth. I can't do it. No, in the name of slavery, I can't do it, bitch. I'm like, you go, Muhammad. But yeah, you can get that bag without having to bang him. And shout out to them African brothers, Ashe. But anywho, have you guys seen the Childish Gambino video? A lot of people are talking about that Childish Gambino video. Very good video. Very good video. Very good video. A lot of good messages in the video. Now, some people are on some shit where they're going to miss the message talking about Donald Glover, who is Childish Gambino. They're talking about his white wife or something like that. All right. All right, then he got a white wife, but he's delivering a potent message. That's what concerns me. The thing is, a lot of bedwinches will get mad when people will co-sign black dudes who are with white women. We'll give them props because they will do something that does have an empowering message to black society. Now, there are coons. You got the Sheriff Clarks out there, and I mean, you got coons out there that we call out who ain't trying to empower nothing. But no matter who you date, men or women, if you date somebody and you're about empowerment, we'll give you props on that. The problem is when it comes to a lot of these women dating these white dudes, they will oftentimes take on the ideology and the mindset of the men they're with. And it goes both ways. Now, like Kanye, for example. Now, Kanye is going full coon. Kanye is taking on the mindset of the women that he's around. So he's going full coon. And we've called Kanye out. We've called Kanye out for his coon. And we're not giving him props because he's with white women and all that. No, we've called Kanye out. But the thing is, the bedwinches don't want to be called out. Because the bedwinches get around Zaddy and they start acting and talking like them and doing everything they can to undermine any type of black progress. And that's very often with a lot of the bedwinches out here. That's a very common phenomenon. But with Donald Glover, look, you're giving an empowering message. So I give you props on that. Byron Allen, he has a white wife, but Byron Allen is about black economic ownership. So I give props to that. Now, if you're a sister out there, you got a white dude, but you out here doing things about empowerment, for black folks, I mean, you have at it. I mean, get that pink dick and do what you do with it. I ain't mad at you. You play with them little old purple balls. I ain't mad at you. Do what you do. But when you lay up with Zaddy and then you start talking about, well, what about black on black crime and black men are trash? When you now you we can't co-sign that. We can't co-sign that. I see somebody in the chat room. I'm going to call your name out. Sherry Whitaker. She said, you're losing me with the bedwinch talk. Well, y'all losing me with the bedwinching. Do you understand that? People who don't like me talking about bedwinches are usually bedwinches. Because we're going to have to be real. Bedwinches and coons are a damn problem. They have been sabotaging our progress. Bedwinches and coons, especially the bedwinches, they act like sleeper cells for black society. So you feel me? But damn, well, Sherry, because I'm looking at your picture in the chat room and you got the, you slim and chocolate. So the Zaddy loves that. He loves his negresses slim and chocolate. And I know you like going out with Zaddy and you think Zaddy is not like the others. I know that, but we need you to get that syrup and that biscuit flour off your hands for a minute. Because time and time again, it has been proven that these bedwinches get around Zaddy and they will do anything and everything to undermine black male leadership. Black male leadership is kryptonite to bedwinches because the definition of a bedwinch is somebody who's propping up white daddy. They love white daddy leadership, and they want to maintain that because the bedwinches get little, they get extra biscuits for themselves. And bedwinches don't like black women or black men. They don't like black society. And the thing is, when you look at these sleeper cells like The Root, Madame Noir, all of these Negro bedwinch publications, I mean, they've gone full bedwinch. Look at some of the stuff that's been happening on social media lately. Fraudanista Jones, who's a well-known ass-kissing plantation mammy who's worked directly with the white supremacists to undermine black society. She's worked with white supremacists to help create anti-black laws. I mean, this woman is very, she's not just a fucking Twitter troll. But now people are finally starting to call her out. She made some disparaging remarks about Marcus Garvey. Anything about black male leadership, it's attacked by these bedwinches and mammies. Not only did she recently online make disparaging remarks about Marcus Garvey, talking about he took blood money from the Klan and all that bullshit, which he didn't. She made some real disparaging remarks about Beyonce and Beyonce's dad, and a lot of people got at her about that, the beehive, because she, Fraudanista, they found some tweets of her talking about how Fraudanista thinks that Beyonce was molested by her dad. Talking about Beyonce had sex with Matthew Knowles. I mean, she was saying some real foul, crazy shit to really attack Matthew Knowles and Beyonce at the same time. So a lot of people got in her ass about that. But this is the type of Negro that white corporations will get and prop up to act as the voice for black society. These sick, deranged-ass Negroes. You understand? That's a whole different thing. See, the bedwinches, they are on something else. You got some coon niggas out there, but there's a lot of those bedwinches who are daily trying to sabotage black society. And they work at these so-called liberal publications. There was an article this week on Madame Noir, again, where This bedwinch was talking about how she's through with dating black American men. Now, she's Nigerian or something like that. And I told y'all about some of them. Some of them get over here and they get around Zaddy. They know what Zaddy wants and they know what Zaddy don't like. And they know that Zaddy likes to see black men, American men, being thrown under the bus. They know that. They know exactly what Zaddy likes. They know what White Mommy likes. So she did a whole article talking about how Black American men ain't about shit. This was Madame Noir. They, remember, this is the same publication that goes out of their way to talk about 8 different ways to find white Zaddy, how to swirl, that type of bullshit. These are the people we're told represent Black society. Utter filth. And the root, and you know, that's the headquarters for Negro fuckery. The root is a bastion of broken plantation bed bucks and bed wenches. That's all it is. A bunch of moist niggas and disturbed bed wenches up there working for the root, being unleashed upon Black society as a terror cell. But the editor, the main editor of The Root, put out an article where she put out like a short story novel. And this short story novel was a love story about a 14-year-old Black girl getting molested by a 37-year-old white man. And I posted it up, and it, I mean, the shit is so sick when you read it. It's, she's talking about, in this little novel, my 14-year-old virginous cunt was getting sucked by this white man who was playing with my hot breasts. I mean, she was, it was some sick ass Negro plantation shit. And we're going to have to start calling these Negroes out for that type of garbage. We're going to have to start calling folks out for putting out that type of garbage when it comes to Black women getting molested and raped by these damn white supremacists. These bed wenches try to help frame it into a love story and promote that for white daddy. Somebody said 50 Shades of Shea Butter. Exactly. It was 50 Shades of fucking Shea Butter. 50 Shades of bed wenches. But this idiot-ass woman from The Root put out this garbage where a love story about a 14-year-old girl getting molested by an old, a 37-year-old white man, and she wrote it in a romantic way. Now, remember, these are the same people when White Mommy says, hey, attack those niggas for the Me Too movement. The Root and all the, those are the main ones in the forefront. But understand, they got this whole thing where they will frame a narrative of white males molesting Black girls, and they'll frame it in a romantic narrative. Just like that movie Loving. Y'all remember that movie Loving about this Black woman? There was this case back in the 60s of this Black woman marrying this white man, going against the grain. They made it seem like this was some big romantic thing where their love, they were breaking the law with their love. Their love was so strong, the love between the bedwench and Zaddy, that they challenged the law. Oh, this is such a romantic story. And the real story is this is the old fucking white supremacist molesting the girl. She was Black, underage girl. He was molesting her, and he was such a damn white supremacist. He told her not to identify as Black, so she started calling herself Native American. And even today, her grandkids up here talking about, well, mom, my grandma was full Native American. They own that shit. So she didn't even identify with Black. It's always this old gutter sex ass bullshit that they try to frame into some kind of romance. When it's with Zaddy, they try to make a tragic arrangement sound romantic, and it's not. But the thing is, we're getting put into a situation where our backs are being put against the wall. Our backs are getting pushed into a corner. Black folks are getting pushed into a corner. And like I was saying earlier, I was talking about the Donald Glover video, the Childish Gambino video about This Is America. This Is America, excuse me. And in the video, a lot of symbolic messages. I mean, he's dancing, and while he's dancing, there's a lot of chaos going on in the background. I mean, the world is exploding. And some of y'all seen the video. You've seen the hidden messages. In one scene, I think that was Trayvon Martin's father walked into the scene. He started playing the guitar. Then there was something covering his head. And then Childish Gambino shot him. It's real deep shit in the video. But the message is, while black folks out here dancing, the world is going into chaos right now on a racial aspect, on a racial level. And at one point, we're going to have to address the elephant in the room. We just can't dance our way into an alternate reality. That's the message that I got from the video. And it reminded me of going down to Ferguson and going down to Baltimore when you had the quote-unquote supposed to be uprising, which it wasn't that much of an uprising. It was a minor temper tantrum. But while there were military tanks and armored vehicles and guns and troops and militarized soldiers out there, black folks out there dancing and rapping, while these people are engaging in domestic warfare against you, black folks, we turn that shit into a house party. And the thing is, we're going to have to realize they're going to keep backing us up into a corner where there's not going to be an option to dance no more. We think we're going to dance our way out of this shit, and they're backing us into a corner. They're backing us into a corner heavy. And understand how warfare works. In warfare, one of the tactics is to not allow your opponent to be backed into a corner. One of the tactics of warfare is to offer an exit for your opponent. When you're fighting somebody, you're supposed to give that person an exit strategy because that gives them hope. So instead of fighting you, they're going to be fighting their way to that exit. And the white supremacists, they've been doing that. They've been pretty good at doing that for a long time. We've always thought, well, we can exit into something else, or we can exit somewhere else. And dancing is an exit strategy. That's the last exit strategy we have, partying and dancing. We think we just cut a jig and coon it up and we'll live life grand on the plantation. And it's not going to work like that no more. Yeah, that dancing thing, it's not going to work no more. They're closing that option. They're going to stop the dancing. They're going to start targeting all of you, even the dancers. Now, in the video, the Childish Gambino video, while all the chaos was going on, none of the dancers were being touched. And that was a very interesting dynamic. None of the dancers, the people dancing and cutting the jig, they weren't being harmed. All the other black folks in the back were being harmed, were being attacked, and all this stuff. Now, at the end of the video, he started running because ultimately he was being attacked too. The Childish Gambino character. But the thing is, they are closing all of those exits. And the thing is, when you're backed into a corner, you're going to have to fight your way out. Being backed into a corner, that makes you wake up. Being backed into a corner, that's going to make you ride or die. And they're backing us into a corner because they're getting desperate right now. The white supremacists are actually very desperate. That's why they're engaging in straight up and down warfare, which is dangerous. They're actually making missteps right now, because when you subjugate a people, you don't want to do it militarily. John Henry Clark said this. When you attack people militarily, you know, that's very dangerous because really your money runs out. It's too costly to attack people and subjugate them militarily. You want to do it psychologically. And because they're desperate right now, and there's a civil war between the white extremists and the white supremacists. See, the white extremists, they want shit to go fast. So now the white extremists, they're starting to take over more. The white extremists, they've infiltrated all forms of law enforcement right now, because they want this race war thing to hurry up. Which is, we're already in a race war, but they want the social racial dominance thing to hurry up more. Whereas the liberal white supremacists who are not so extreme, they're like, no, 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 we need to use the tactics we're using so that these black folks don't wake up. So they're making bad moves right now out of desperation. They're creating enemies overseas. So they're getting desperate and they're making mistakes. And they know that. So they have to rely on fear tactics. They have to rely on us being completely afraid, completely docile. And the thing is, when people get backed into a corner, when you see that you have no choice left but to fight, that's when we wake the fuck up and that's when we start winning. I mean, that happened in Haiti. When the Haitians found out that Napoleon and Rochambeau and all of those French generals were going to come over there and commit complete genocide, they knew that the French were going to kill everybody on that island. So they knew they had no option but to whoop ass, and that's exactly what they did. When the word got out that there was going to be a complete genocide, they were going to kill everybody in Haiti, all the black people, and then go to Africa and bring new people. When the word got out and everybody there in Haiti realized that, that's when they started whooping ass. That's when they stopped dancing. They stopped the tap dancing. They stopped the bug dancing. They stopped the bullshit and got serious and got on code real quick. And that's the biggest danger. Us getting on code. And the thing is, when you give people no hope, you'll see that they will start rebelling. If you notice, in these prisons around the country, there have been a lot of rebellions. There have been a lot of prison riots lately. There was one, I think, in South Carolina a couple of weeks ago. There was a prison uprising there. They thwarted it. And the other day, down there in Louisiana, there was a prison uprising that was minor down there in Angola prison. And I think, where's Angola? Is it Baton Rouge? It's somewhere in Louisiana. And understanding, in places like Angola, Angola used to be a plantation. They used to have slaves working on there. It was run by Confederate soldiers. Nothing has changed. These white supremacists want it right back to the olden days. Nothing has changed. That's why when black folks talk about racial progress, nothing has changed. Angola prison used to be a plantation. They had slaves working there in the 1800s. As a matter of fact, the name Angola for the prison, they named it that because that's where they got most of the enslaved Africans from. Angola, Africa. That's why that prison is called Angola. Angola hasn't changed one bit. It was a slave plantation then. It's a slave plantation by name and practice and ownership right now. There were some brothers there rising up. They beat up a couple of guards up there. You got brothers. They're giving brothers out there life sentences for like stealing, theft. I mean, cats getting 55 and 60 year sentences down. I mean, just draconian laws for minor offenses. And down there, they force the people to work heavy. I heard down there, somebody went to a Toys R Us at one of the stores out there in Louisiana, and they couldn't let people in because the prisoners were there at Toys R Us stocking the shelves. So they rent those prisoners out to a whole bunch of different companies. And there was some people there, some brothers there in the jail. There was a whole mass of people who refused to work. They said, we're not working. We're not going to work. And then what I heard, they took some of these rebellious prisoners to an undisclosed location. So that's something that we're going to have to put our focus on. We're going to really have to focus on this slave system that we have with all these brothers in prison like that. We're going to have to look at that. Because we got a very bad tendency as black folks to kind of just let bullshit go on until it gets too late. What's up from Baltimore out there? Because understand, the white supremacists, there's a reason why they don't shoot these white supremacists down in the street and beat their children up. There's a reason why. Because every week you hear about some white dude shooting a damn cop. See, white people understand ride or die. They would rather choose death than to be alive and subjugated and living in complete terror, waiting on somebody to shoot you or not. Because they've had a taste of complete freedom too long. So the inkling of that, them being targeted. You pull a white person over, give him a parking ticket. The next thing you know, he done shot up 20 cops. You've inconvenienced him, so everybody has to go. You understand? And even back in the day, and white people got put in jail, or somebody got put in jail for protection. Like, a lot of times when somebody, a black, was accused of doing something to somebody in the white community, and they had to put that black person in jail, the white community would be like, hell no, we want that nigga. They would break the jail down to get the nigga. You understand? If a bunch of white people were funneled into jail unjustly, oh, they would have rescue missions. They would go break the damn jails down. They would go get vehicles and have a mass convoy of them breaking into jails, breaking folks out. They would do that. They would go on kamikaze missions. They're not going to let that happen. But we'll let shit happen even when we're the majority. Just like in South Africa. Shout out to my South African brothers and sisters. And Brother Khalid Muhammad would say this. Black people are the majority in South Africa. Black folks let Nelson Mandela stay in jail for 27 years. And you're the majority. You could have went over there and just got him out. You're the majority. You could have got Mandela. Didn't have to spend no 27 years in jail. They could have went over there, took that jail over, and got him out. I've been to Mandela's jail cell. Very small. That shit's about the size of a closet. It's like on a little island off the coast. They could have got him out. You dig? But we got to get this global thing where we feel like we're completely powerless. Because we've been told. And now, we got to understand what power is, family. We got to understand what power is. We think power is big old machines and guns and all. That ain't power. See, that's why the white supremacists, they make a lot of stuff real big. They make things real big and scary. They make their machinery, because that's their strength, the machinery. They make the shit real big and scary, the tanks and the planes, and that shit is real scary looking. But that's not power. That's not what power is. Hell, they had all that shit down in Vietnam and lost the Vietnam War. They had all the machines and helicopters. They had to leave all that shit in Vietnam. They had to leave that there because the Vietnamese, they were on their shit where we're going to ride or die. We're not going to be subjugated to these people. Either we're going to be a free nation or we're going to die. Because they have the spirit of the Haitian Revolution in them. Remember, the president of Vietnam at the time, he was a Garveyite. He studied under Garvey. And Garvey studied the works of the Haitian Revolution. And we talked about that in the movie 1804. But power is basically the ability to punish or reward people. That's all power is. Power is the ability to punish or reward people. And the people in the dominant white society, they've accumulated resources and they built up a system and they've had a code that they can use to punish or reward people. We don't want to have that system. We got this thing where we're perfectly fine with begging white mommy and daddy for rewards. We think that's power, when white mommy and white daddy give us something. This is why the white supremacists don't take none of your quote-unquote demands seriously, because, see, we think we can verbally talk aggressive, yell, scream, and walk in a circle. And that's weakness all day. The white supremacists, they have no problem letting you walk in a circle screaming, because that ain't power. You try to give the illusion of power. That ain't power. That's just you being aggressive and mad. And when they're when they fed up with you being aggressive and mad, then they're going to show you what power is. Then they're going to show you how to punish somebody. And the reason why they can do whatever they want to us is because we don't want to create a mechanism in which to punish negative behavior. If you cannot punish somebody's negative behavior, you are powerless to them. And we have to be able to punish and reward people within our own society. This is why we have a bedwinch coon epidemic. See, the bedwinches are running up there lapping daddy's white zaddy's balls because white zaddy rewards them with butter biscuits and nigger pennies. And we're not creating jobs and an economic base to reward people to be on Team Black Empowerment. See, that's the thing. We gotta create a mechanism so that people can be sustained. People can have food, shelter, clothing, medical care. They can be taken care of if we have our own institutions. We don't want to create our own institutions. So when folks get around Zaddy, you're going to have to start buck dancing. See, this is why we can't run away from the economic thing. Because no matter what you do, you need an economic sustaining mechanism in order to take care of the people. Zaddy has that. See, we got to get resources in order to maintain your power, in order to reward and punish, in order to give, in order to deprive. Because deprivation of money, that's a form of punishment. But the thing is, we think going to Walmart and going to Waffle House and begging to go in here and get our asses whooped, we think that's power. No, it's not. We need to have mechanisms and institutions in place where we can take our economics there and build up. This is why I've been on tour around the country showcasing black businesses. We're going to have to get that system game in order. We're going to have to start really getting on code about creating a system. And that goes to black folks who are serious about building. We need to have black folks out here who are not about that finesse game. You want to finesse niggas and you want to finesse people who look like you, and then you're going to put us right back to square one. See, we need to get that game straight. And this is why those sleeper cells are being used in black society, those bedwinches in places like The Root. When the white supremacist females from places like the Me Too and the Time's Up movement, when they snap their fingers and tell these Negro bedwinches to attack black men, they jump and do it. But these same white women don't do the same thing for all these white men out here raping. They don't. Because these white women, they have power, the power to punish and reward. And they're not going to punish men who look like them, no matter how fucked up they are, no matter how many rapes they do. Because they're on code, and these Negro bedwinches and coons are not. That's why we keep losing. Now, last week or a couple of weeks ago, when they got Bill Cosby, because the whole Me Too movement, again, they flipped it into a racial thing. They used the white men doing all these rapes and sexual assaults, they use that to get headlines. But when it's time to actually punish somebody, they're going straight for the black men. They went at Cosby. They're starting to go at R. Kelly. And a couple of weeks ago, I said, okay, I see the pattern here. I said a couple of weeks ago, the next target will be Chris Brown. And people were like, oh, no, don't say that. I said, watch. The next target will be Chris Brown. Because they already have a narrative of Chris Brown being abusive. So they're going to, I knew they were going to conjure up something on Chris Brown. And sure enough, yesterday, Gloria Allred did a press conference talking about some woman, Jane Doe, was raped at Chris Brown's house by one of Chris Brown's friends. So Chris Brown is named in the lawsuit. But it was his friend who actually allegedly did the raping, which is a bunch of bullshit, by the way. So we knew that was coming. And all of these bedwinches out here with that anti-black male bullshit, you think that helping white mommy attack black men is going to get you some extra butter biscuits? There was another story that came out yesterday over at Yale University, and I did a lecture at Yale years ago. Shout out to Yale, but y'all got to get this shit right. There was a white supremacist female called the police on a black female student. This black female student was sleeping in the commons area, just taking a nap. She was doing work and just took a nap in the commons area. So this white supremacist female called the police on her. And the police came and they were asking the woman for her ID, kind of giving the sister a hard time. And this white supremacist female, when you research her, her name is Sarah something. I don't want to. Sarah Brash, some shit like that. But this white supremacist female happens to be a white feminist. If you look at her profiles online, she talks about how she's all about women's rights. So she's a white feminist. And that's how white supremacy works. Y'all sit up here, and I'm talking to the bedwinches. Y'all sit up, Brash, that's her name. Y'all bedwinches sit up here and y'all help white mommy attack black men, thinking that you're going to be somehow immune. And you help empower these white supremacist females to turn back around and attack black women too. I've seen a lot of this happen lately. There was another black feminist who, a white woman on an airplane, called the police on him because she was on the plane and she was touching the white woman's elbow or some shit, and the white woman called the police on her. This is one of those black man hating black feminists, one of those roots blabbity blacks. So white mommy is actively turning on you. White mommy's letting you know there is no safe space. There's nowhere to run. Black people think we're going to run somewhere. We think, okay, we're being attacked by the white supremacists, we can run over here to feminism. And the white feminists, they're like, no, Negress. I despise you just like I despise the Negro men. Yeah, Amber Phillips, that's her name. We think, okay, we're going to go to church and we're going to hide in church. And Dylann Roof was like, oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. You're not going to hide in there either. Well, we're going to hide at the Waffle House and just eat. Nope, you're not going to hide there either. Well, we need to go to Africa. We going to hide in Africa. You go to South Africa, you got white supremacists over there. Nope, they're trying to take that over. There's nowhere to hide. We're going to hide behind dancing. No, that ain't gonna work either. There's nowhere to go. Your back is against the wall. Your back is, you're in a corner now. You are in a corner now. And you're gonna have to stand up for yourself. That's just the long and short of it. And bedwinches, y'all can sit up here and write your articles, those anti-black men articles about how black men ain't shit and black men need to step it up and white zaddy is so great. Do y'all know how many stories there are of black women getting killed by these white dudes? Bedwinching ain't gonna save you. There was a sister the other day. They found her dead. She was killed by some white supremacists in what was that? I can't even think. She was pregnant too. It was this pregnant sister. I don't know how they got a hold of her, but she was missing for a few weeks and they found that sister dead. And she's pregnant. She had a couple of other kids already. And I see story after story of these sisters dating these white dudes and the sisters end up dead. But yeah, the sister's name was Shalaya Toombs. She's from Oklahoma City. Shalia Toombs, and some white supremacists choked her to death. Yeah, sitting up here co-signing and caping for daddy, that's not gonna help y'all. And another thing, y'all sitting up here doing all these stories on Blavity and Madame Noir and The Root, talking this shit about how black American men ain't shit because they won't date you. All these black men don't want to marry nobody. All these black men ain't qualified. They don't want to marry me. Why they don't want to marry me? I got to get a white man because they don't want to marry. Let me explain something to y'all. You blabbity blacks and you roots coons and bedwinches who try to use that bullshit excuse. The reason why black dudes ain't fucking with you, and I'm talking specifically to these bedwinches and the roots and the Madame Noir negresses. The reason why brothers aren't fucking with you like that is because brothers see how much of a disloyal coon you are, even when you try to not act like it. They see it. We can smell it on you. We can smell the biscuits on you. We can smell it on you. We know what you're about. We know that you're a potential traitor. We can sense your energy. That's why people ain't fucking with you like that on a real level in black society. And then they try to hide behind all black women. Well, these black men just don't like no black women. No, we don't like a bed wench. We know you ain't loyal. That's why you go right for the root and Madame Noir and shit on brothers. We saw that in you a long time ago. That shit didn't just happen overnight. You didn't become a bed wench overnight. It was something that was already in you that the dudes you dated sensed. They could sense that coon spirit in you. That's why they didn't want to fuck with you outside of a little sex here and there. But brothers ain't trying to fuck with you knowing you got that coon mammy bedwinch spirit. They know it was in you. And the fact that you write for some of these bedwinch publications prove that. They know that you have anti-black hatred. We know that. We can sense somebody who's insecure and hateful of black society just by little shit you do and say. Just by your actions. Just by the way you talk. Just by the way you identify with black society. We can see whether you have a real genuine love or a subconscious disdain for black society. We see that. You ain't fooling nobody. You see people like Fraud and Easter Jones, all of these people, the Jamila Lemieux, there's a reason niggas ain't fucking with them. We know, you know they're fucked up. We knew you were fucked up from the gate. And life is already hard for us. We ain't about to sit up here and pair up with somebody fucked up in the home who's going to be a double agent working with Zaddy against us. Yeah, these women, they don't represent black women at all. They don't represent black women. Issa Rae, all these people... Even before Issa Rae, they found out she was kind of bedwinching for the Asians. People can sense, you can sense a spirit of bedwinchery there. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you can go in a room and you can tell which sisters are cool and who's the bedwinches. You can almost feel it. You can go in a room and you can see the ones who are on some bedwinch shit. You can feel it. And women too, women. You ladies, when you meet a dude, let's be real, ladies, you can smell a coon. Ladies, you can smell a fucking coon. You know when a nigga got a coon spirit. Ladies, when you meet a dude and you talk to him and chop it up, you know whether the dude is down on some pro-black shit or that nigga is a potential Jesse Lee Peterson. I have women tell me all the time, like, I went out on a date with this dude and I don't know, he might be a coon. I don't know. You can sense if the dude is a coon or not. Just little shit he say. You're like, yeah, I was on a date with this nigga and he started talking about black crime. God damn. I'm like, well, let me get this food and leave. You can tell a nigga say little shit and you know there's some coon in there. But I can look at a bedwinch. I can go somewhere and I can look at a chick and see if that's a potential bedwinch. I can just look. I look at little shit. I look at the texture of the weave. I look at everything. I'm like, that's a bedwinch weave right there. One of the more half-ass bullshit tacked up weaves. That's the kind of weave a white man will like. Only a white man like that. And she's outside rocking that. That means she ain't got no black friends. She don't hang with black folks. Because if you had some black friends, somebody would have told you your weave is fucked up. So that means she ain't around no black people. So that's a potential bed wench right there. Just like dudes, women, you meet a dude, you like, this nigga fucking, who faded this nigga's hair? This nigga fade is fucked up. This nigga does not have no black friends. You've been out with a fucked up fade, nigga, sisters. You seen a fucked up fade, nigga. Nigga get his hair cut at Supercuts. A nigga get his hair cut at Fantastic Sam's at the mall. You're like, nigga, where? Damn, dude. Oh, you look at that nigga's shoes. That nigga got on some open-toe sandals. You're like, hey, okay, this nigga might be a Republican. Hold on. Ladies, y'all seen some niggas with some fucked up ass shoes. And you knew there was a coon spirit on that nigga. Well, that nigga took you on a date and ate some coon food. That nigga had an avocado wrap with hot sauce on it. You're like, what kind of nigga is this? Oh, my God. You start texting your homegirl. Girl, I'm scared. Come get me, Quita. You start texting and shit. Girl, this nigga had an avocado wrap with some honey Dijon mustard on it. I don't know what kind of nigga this is. You know a coon spirit on a nigga, and we know a coon spirit on a woman, too. So when we see them over at Madame Noir and The Root cooning it up, complaining about dudes ain't fucking with them, yeah, we ain't fucking with you. We knew what you were about. We already knew what you were about. But anyway, let me get up out of here, family. That's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Don't forget, you know, I'm going to be in the UK. I'm going to be in London. I'm going to be in Birmingham, England, June 17th. That's next month. All my Birmingham people, come see me. The commercial, we ran the commercial earlier. But let me tell y'all where to get the tickets, because this is like the only lecture I'm really doing. I've been not doing lectures. I've been working on so many other projects. But what's the name of the venue? Hold on. Let me give y'all the name of the venue I'm going to be doing the lecture in Birmingham, England. Because we ran the commercial. I hope y'all didn't think Birmingham, Alabama. But Birmingham, England, June 17th. Let me give y'all the information. Let me look at the flyer real quickly. I got to put it on my Facebook, too. I'm going to be at the Holt Suite Aston Villa Football Club, Birmingham, B66HE. You can get tickets at trauma-healing.eventbrite.co.uk. And y'all, it's going to be a rare lecture because this is my only lecture of the year. So y'all be the first people to see me do a lecture this year. So y'all come and see me and my sister Joy DeGruy, the lovely, the brilliant Dr. Joy DeGruy. It's going to be a hot one. That's June 17th. Shout out to my man, Eric, over at Sankore. They're putting it together, and I love the UK. I have so much love for my UK brethren. I love the UK. I have a great time when I go out there. I love that. But anyway, y'all, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4, family. Go to 1804 to get the movie 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti. I am out. I will holler at you guys on Ustream this Sunday. Well, not Ustream, on YouTube. I keep saying Ustream, but it's not Ustream, YouTube. All right, you guys be good.